Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2, the safe space created for Black women by Black women to strip away the taboo of talking about mental health. You'll hear from mental health professionals and advocates, as well as Black women sharing their experiences as we break down the complexities, explore ways to heal, and support each other. My name is Ashley. I'm your host. Whether you're a seasoned regular or this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much for your support. Now let's get into today's episode. It's your host, Ashley, and welcome back to another episode. Today, we don't have any special guests. It's just me, y'all. I haven't done one of these, I don't know, since like this summer. But today, it's just me and you. Let's get to know each other. No, that's weird. Okay, but I'm going to be doing just an episode with just me for today, which y'all know, if you know me and you've been listening for a while, you know I'd be avoiding doing these like the plague, but I need to do more. I want to do more. So this is me doing more. I just wanted to do kind of a check-in with myself and also with everyone else, and just kind of let you guys know where I'm at. What's kind of next for the podcast, and what's been working for me personally, and some cool things that I have in the works that I'm trying to get worked out for the podcast. I just want to first off thank everybody for listening. And if you are new and this is your first episode, it's nice to meet you. My name is Ashley Nas. I am the host of Black Girls Have Anxiety Too. If y'all been here for a minute, welcome back. I want to first off check in and see how you guys are doing. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you feeling on the mental health scale or the anxiety scale? Let's do the anxiety scale, because I'm going to get into like where my anxiety is, but I want you to think about, where is your anxiety at today? How anxious are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, like 10 being all out, super anxious, like damn near anxiety attack. And 1 just kind of being like very faint anxiety, very like low levels of anxiety, where you feel like you're managing it well. I want you to think about like, where are you at today on the scale of your anxiety? Now let's zoom out of anxiety and talk a little bit about like, where are you feeling at just like with your mental health as a whole? Are you feeling like you have, like you are in control of it? Are you feeling a little bit out of control? Are you feeling like you need help? Like you need to talk to somebody, whether that be a friend or, a therapist or a group, a parent or whomever. So I want you guys to just think about like, where are you at? I will let you know where my anxiety is at, as of today. I would have to say my anxiety, if I had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably at a 5, which for me is pretty dang good. Like, it's pretty good. I am usually sitting a little bit higher, like an 8. but I've been really intentional about trying to manage my anxiety, and being really mindful about like being proactive and, I just started doing pranayama breathing. I just literally go on YouTube. I actually found out about it because my husband is into jujitsu and is reading a jujitsu book, and the guy that's like a jujitsu master or whatever talked about pranayama breathing. And if you guys have been listening to this podcast for a while, you probably know that I have lung issues that I deal with, so I'm always looking for like different breathing exercises, not just for my anxiety, but just like literally so I can breathe full capacity of my lungs. So I started looking into pranayama breathing, and some of the some of the benefits for pranayama breathing, and ended up down a very big YouTube rabbit hole, which I'm not mad about. But pranayama is the belief that you can control the power of your mind through regulating your breath. Prana and yama translates to breath. Well, prana translates to breath, and yama has a few different meanings, like expansion, length, rising. And so it's been really, really helping me. There's like a 15-minute video. Maybe I'll drop that video in the description. There's a 15-minute video by this Indian woman. She does like a whole stream of different breathing exercises. And it is super, super helpful. It's 15 minutes and you go through different... It's very different than the breathing exercises that I've talked about on this podcast before, which are, I would say, like pattern breathing. Pattern breathing as in like, you know, 5-7-9, or like box breathing where you're kind of doing 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, kind of drawing a box as you breathe. It's a bit different than that. It's a little more manual, I would say. There's some manual aspects to it. If you ever did Bikram yoga back in the day, I grew up kind of doing Bikram yoga, and there's like a type of breathing that you do at the end of class where you're forcing breath out and letting the breath come in naturally. So there's aspects of that in it as well. But if you are, maybe I should do some pranayama breathing on here one day. I will write that in my notes, and maybe we'll do pranayama breathing one day. But it has been very helpful, one, to just like feel like my lungs are full of air, which is not a feeling that I have often. Usually I feel like I'm at 50% capacity, and it's usually because I am. But it has been really helpful in making my lungs feel full, and also kind of regulating my nervous system in the morning before I jump into work, before I jump into having to get on calls with clients, before I jump into having to deal with like also life stuff. So that's been really helpful for me. I would say the other thing that has been helpful for me is I would probably say just, I think I'm going back to breathing because, I'm going back to breathing because I have such, it's weird because I have so many issues with my lungs that it forces me to really place a lot of emphasis on my breath, which I think is a good thing. Not that I have lung issues, but that I place a lot of emphasis on my breath. So, I think outside of breathing exercises, just moving my body around, I find that when it stays at a time where I'm not able to move and it's not necessarily going and doing the hardest workout, I just have pent up energy. And I think just being an athlete for most of my life and now being in a position where some days my body feels great and is ready to work out and go hard, and then other days my body's like, nah, you got to sit your ass down and be still while I fill up these lungs, just relax. So that's been being able to just move and finding the happy medium of the days when I can't necessarily go and do a super hard workout, being able to move, even if it's like stretching for 15 minutes or going on a walk and trying not to lose that motivation. I think sometimes, my anxiety gets really high to the point where I feel stuck and stagnant and like I don't want to. Not that I don't want to move, but I want to go to the gym, or I want to go out and go for a walk, or I want to sit and stretch. But it's this weird feeling of you're so anxious and there's so many thoughts of like, what if, what if, what if, that you just don't do anything. I don't know if that's, is that anxiety? Possibly. I don't know. I think something that I've been anxious about that I've literally never been anxious about in my life, that's not necessarily just my nervous system being a little off, but me being anxious about it every time I think about it, is going to the gym. This is very recent for me. Like I've been, like I said, I like being active, but I kind of had a setback with my lungs the other day and had to sit still for a couple of weeks. And for some reason, like, I just had this mental block of, like, I can't go back to the gym. I want to go back to the gym, but if I go back, what if my lung collapses again? What if, like, I'm there by myself and I can't breathe? Like, how humiliating would that be? What if, like, my husband's at work and I go work out and I get in the car and then my lung collapses and then I have to go to the hospital again and then I have to spend more money again and then they're not going to know what to do with me again. And, like, all these thoughts go through my head. It's the first time I'm talking about this in this way. But all these thoughts go through my head, and I was just talking myself out of going to the gym. I haven't been to pole class in a couple of months. I've just been, like, talking myself out of doing things that, like, I enjoy, that my body responds well to. And again, I think that's why I've been trying to find a happy medium with, like, do I have to go to the gym? Can I do something that's a little bit more safe, that makes me feel a little bit more safe, but still enables me to get some movement in? That's where I'm at. I want to ask you guys, what, if anything, what has been making your anxiety worse? Is it something that you've been thinking about? Is it maybe, like, relationship stuff? I know it's the holidays, so that can easily shoot up anybody's anxiety. But what is making your anxiety worse? And maybe just think back to the last week, maybe think back into the last month, because I think for me, sometimes talking about where my anxiety is as far as, like, on the scale of 1 to 10, but also what's affecting it, helps me kind of be aware of, I don't want to call them triggers, but helps me be aware of some of those things that may, like, that may be affecting my anxiety. So as you think about it, like, is there a certain environment that makes your anxiety worse? Is there a certain person that makes your anxiety worse? Is there a certain worry that just keeps ruminating in your brain, and keeps coming up over and over again that you're kind of fixating on? I think for me, as far as things that are making my anxiety worse, or just heightening it, work is probably one. Not probably, work is one, probably the number one. I think there's just, like, a lot of instability-ish happening, a lot of movement happening. I think if you are, like, privy to what's going on in, like, the economy, a lot of companies are, you know, they've got a lot of movement. There's, like, C-suite executives moving around, leaving, coming and going, and it's been a little bit of a roller coaster this year. So I think for me, it's like, whew, you know, you guys know when, like, you've been on that roller coaster, and it's, you guys, if you've been on a roller coaster, then you get the initial, like, and the stress that we're putting on our body purposely in a roller coaster, which I think is so much fun. But I don't know, maybe I should talk to a psychologist about if roller coasters are actually healthy for us. I don't know. But when you're on a roller coaster and then you get to the end and you're like, whew, okay, that's done. Now we can get off. But it's like, it's felt like, okay, we're not getting off. We're just, like, going around for the third time now. And so now, like, the highs are, and the big drops are not as jarring, but they're kind of like, whew, all right, I'm ready for, like, things to be smooth sailing. Like, I'm ready to, you know, get off the roller coaster and get into, like, you know, like, a nice little boat ride, just small waves. So I've been managing the effects that, you know, work changes and things like that have had or are having on my anxiety. And I think I'm doing that by making sure that I take a step back during the middle of the day. I work from home, so it's really easy to just, like, work through lunch. And sometimes it's necessary for me to do that, but if that's the case, I will try to go and take 20 minutes to go, like, go for a walk, or just go and sit down and scroll on random things. Like, just to take 20 minutes out of your day, just to take a step away, or listen to a podcast while I walk, or just go out and sit outside. Just literally stand there and listen to music or don't listen to anything. But it helps kind of reset the like overflow of information that I realize that I'm taking in every single day when it comes to work and then like on your phone and all of that stuff. So, another thing that helps me with that, with my anxiety, because I work from home and because, it can just get to be a lot. I change up my environment and I will go work at a cafe. I'm pretty sure every cafe within like a 10-mile radius has seen me before. But if I know that I have time blocked off for me to focus, I will take that like 10-minute ride to go and just finish my day at a coffee shop. And it helps because it just helps, for me, it helps with the change of environment and, I get to actually see people. I get a little bit of coffee. I do have caf for those of y'all with really bad anxiety. You probably know by now if you've listened to other episodes, caffeine is not great for anxiety. But I found a balance of just doing like either a regular coffee a few times a week or a half caf a few times a week. But I don't drink it every day. Otherwise, it just gets real crazy in my chest. It gets too much. What else has been affecting my anxiety? For me, the managing the influx of news, of what's going on around the world has been, I've been trying to manage that because I want to be informed of what's going on. I want to be informed of what's going on in Gaza, of course. I want to be informed of what's going on in the Congo. I want to be informed of what's going on here, but I'm trying to find a balance between wanting to be aware and continue to learn and educate myself about the things that are going on, but also figuring out how to not inundate myself with that information all the time or taking all the free time that I have, because I just kind of get into these rabbit holes and it's hard to kind of crawl out of them. So I've been trying to just manage, make sure that I have an idea of what's going on, it's so weird because it's like, I'm trying to manage my mental health and it's like people are literally dying and like fighting for their lives in other places. But I also, this is something that I talked about with my therapist the other day, and she was like, you have to honor yourself and honor the ability that you have to be able to voice your opinion and also be able to have access to support. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. I had to reschedule with my therapist like two times over the past couple of months. I finally got to see her last week. And that was very, it's like, you don't realize how much you need it. Well, actually I realized how much I need it. Now I was telling my husband, like, I've missed therapy too much. I need to go back and make sure that I don't have to push the next one forward because of other life stuff that's going on. But I just wanted to share with you guys what I learned from my last therapy session. Like, shout out to my therapist. I don't know if she listens to this podcast. I know she knows that I have this podcast, but I don't know if she listens. But if you're listening, thank you. I appreciate you. We were talking about, we met for a session, not last week, but the week before Thanksgiving. And I was just like, I'm worn out. I am feeling very deflated. Like, I just don't have the capacity to people right now, but I'm about to roll into like having family over and then having to go travel to see family. But then also managing not being able to see my family, like really just focusing on my husband's family that we're seeing and having to stay in Florida and not being able to fly home because of, like, I can't fly home right now because my lungs might pop in the air. That's where I'm at right now. So kind of feeling like stuck here, and also missing my own family, but also like needing some alone time. So she said, and I took notes because I'm a nerd. She said, if you don't have the capacity to people, then don't do it. And we talked about just like how to manage conversations, like obviously with my husband, and like how to not set boundaries, but find and carve out time for yourself. Like, how does traveling to go see family, what does that look like? How does it look like? Is there space for you to take time for yourself? And what does that look like? So that was really helpful. It was also helpful just in terms of like planning for future holidays and stuff, maybe planning a little bit ahead and starting to think like, do we want to stay in an Airbnb, or like, is there space for, you know, me to go do something early before everybody wakes up that's like on my own? Or like, for example, we went to go visit family and I just like went and had coffee by myself and went and got my nails done by myself. And it was just a few hours, but it was nice because gave my husband time to spend time with his family, but also gave me some time to just read my book and just not have to talk to anybody, which is really nice. So my therapist said, Ashley, you are in a season of rest and that's okay. And like, my immediate thought is like, I can't rest. I have all this work to do for work and I have all this stuff to do for my podcast and I'm behind on it. And like, I immediately down the rabbit hole automatically. And she is just like, you are in a season of rest and that is okay. And said, there's no need to feel guilty. So I want everybody listening to know that not only is this the season of giving and the holiday season for some of us that are celebrating holidays around this time. And of course, like the change of seasons, like if this is your season of rest, that is okay. And start to figure out what that looks like for you. Because for me, it is recording a little bit less in December, although I really want to record more, but I have so many great episodes for y'all and they're just sitting right now and I just need to get them out. But I also need to do so many other things for the podcast that I actually need to carve out some time to do that. And I just need like a few days to just not do anything in December. So, and that's okay. I'm not guilty. I'm not feeling guilty about that. One thing I wanted to mention, just like I mentioned, it's a season. For me, it's a season of rest. We all know like the seasons are changing. We're going from fall to winter. I'm in Florida, which means I'm still in somebody's summer. But if you're not in somewhere, not living somewhere near the equator, or somewhere that doesn't have like an all year tropical season like Florida, then you are probably entering into a different season in terms of weather and the leaves changing, or maybe the leaves are gone and the snow is here. And there is this thing where your mental health can change with the seasons, particularly with spring and with winter. And it's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. I did an episode on it a while back, so scroll back if you want to hear the full, if you want to hear us get into it on a full episode. But I just wanted to bring it up again because I think that it's really important to know that this is an actual thing. So let me tell y'all the definition of it. And this is I'm pulling this from John Hopkins' website. So seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression. It happens during certain seasons of the year, most often fall or winter. It is thought that shorter days and less daylight may trigger a chemical change in the brain, leading to symptoms of depression. There are different treatments for SAD, of course, antidepressants and light therapy. I honestly think that like understanding that this is an actual thing can help, because as you feel like you're slipping into a depression, if you can step back and see what time of year it is the weather changing around you? That can be helpful just to have an understanding. Okay, there's something that's kind of causing this feeling of depression. Now let me go get help. And it's not like being sad or unhappy. It is something that could last, like depression could last weeks, months. For some people, it can last years. But with SAD, it usually starts in adulthood. And the risk of it actually increases with age. Like, there's not many women under the age of 20 that actually are noted with symptoms of SAD. And women typically get affected more than men. So melatonin, if you guys have ever taken melatonin, it's a sleep-related hormone, but it's also a supplement that you can take. This is not me telling you to take a supplement, but just telling you that melatonin is linked to SAD or seasonal affective disorder, because the body naturally makes more melatonin when it's dark. So when the days are shorter and darker and we pass daylight savings time, your melatonin is increased. So what are some of the symptoms? Increased sleep, daytime drowsiness, loss of interest, pleasure, and activities formerly enjoyed, withdrawing socially, an increased sensitivity to rejection, which I thought was interesting, irritability and anxiety, feelings of guilt and hopelessness, fatigue or low energy level. On a side note, fatigue, irritability, and anxiety is what I'm dealing with right now. Then there's also decreased sex drive, decreased ability to focus or concentrate, trouble thinking clearly, increased appetite, especially for sweets and carbs. Yeah, that's definitely me. Weight gain and headaches as well. So if you're, if any of those symptoms are like sounding off little flags in your head, yellow flags that are like, hello, you've got a few of these, definitely reach out to your healthcare provider. Or if you have a mental health provider, definitely reach out to them and let them know some of the symptoms that you're experiencing and the timing of the onset of some of those symptoms. Some of the treatment, psychotherapy, of course, is one, antidepressants, light therapy. There's actual lights you can purchase that you can basically turn on in the mornings to help increase that exposure to sunlight, especially if you live somewhere where you're not getting a lot of sunlight. If you live somewhere where you are getting a lot of sunlight, like get out into the sun, even if it's like 10 minutes, even if it's sitting next to a window, to get some of that sunlight. I know everybody's been like, cover your body in like sunblock, which is great. Yes. But also we need sunlight. So we can't just avoid it like vampires. We actually need the sunlight. Some of the things to just help relieve some of those symptoms, not taking on too much. So kind of like breaking those large tasks or those big goals into smaller priorities that are more manageable. Confiding in someone helps as well. Do things that make you feel better. And it sounds so like blasé. Yeah, do things that make you feel better. But I want everybody to really think like, what makes you feel better? Is it like gardening? Is it praying? Is it going to a movie? Is it playing board games? Is it playing video games? Is it going for a walk? Is it going for a brunch? Is it coloring in an adult coloring book? That's my thing, y'all. I love coloring. So I always have adult coloring books nearby, downstairs and upstairs, like just in case I get the feeling of just coloring. But do things that make you feel better. So if it's like putting on makeup, if it's going and walking around, I don't know, the grocery store, if it's just sitting on the grass, like think about what makes you feel better and make time to do them, even if it's for 10 minutes, even if it's like watching, I don't know, something on TV. That's your favorite show, your show from when you were younger. Make time to do those things. Couple of things that I'm making time to do more of is baking. I love to cook and I love to bake, but I don't bake often because cooking for me is like obviously a necessity. Baking is not. and I realize how much I enjoy it and I like putting on my music and looking at new recipes or just kind of like putting something random together. So try to do something nice for yourself. And then just having patience with yourself. It's going to be, it's a slow grind to for like moods to be lifted, but it does get better over time. Things like alcohol and drugs like make depression worse. So just know that if you're dipping and dabbling, just know that you could be making your situation worse in the long run. And then this one was really important. I wanted to share just delaying big decisions if you can until your depression has lifted, like changing jobs or getting married or even divorced. Like, try to get to a point where the depression has lifted before you really like put the nail in those decisions. Yeah, and just there's quite a few more things that you can do. Asking for help is like the biggest one, but I'll make sure to put the link in the bio for this. That way, if you guys want to look more into it, you can. Of course, go ahead and go back to the other episode that we did on SAD. But I just wanted to share those things with you guys. Just as far as like caring for your mental health during the holidays, and just to be aware. I wanted to let you guys know kind of what's up with the podcast. So I'm doing my best to try to do weekly episodes. As y'all see, it is not working great. However, like I mentioned before, I'm going to be taking less time to record in December, taking some time to rest, and really trying to schedule out what I want these next episodes that are going to roll out to look like. So just keep an eye out. It'll get more consistent. Give me a little bit of grace. I'm giving myself grace. And then 2024 be rolling smoothly. One thing I wanted to share with everybody, I am working on a Black Beauty series. And so that series is really, I've been really curious about how Black Beauty intertwines with mental health, or how it affects mental health, and how Black women and our beauty, whether it be physical, like skin color, complexion, hair texture, just overall appearance, physical appearance, how does that affect us mentally, especially when we are not close to those Western beauty standards. The Western beauty standards were not made for us. And the more and more conversations I kept having, I would hear bits and pieces of how women and how they were perceived ended up having an effect on whether they were depressed or causing them increased anxiety because you're moving through certain spaces that were never made for you, but also you can't fit in, or maybe you're trying to fit in, or maybe you've been trying to fit in, or maybe you've just kind of given up, like, and are struggling to see your own beauty. I think that for me, it's been a journey for myself to figure out what my beauty is, what womanhood is, and how I value my beauty and how I deem myself worthy. And I think it's really important for Black women to be able to have the opportunity to see themselves as beautiful. But I also want to give Black women who have not seen themselves as beautiful a chance to talk about it and talk about how it's affected their mental health. So I'm doing a series on Black beauty. I'm working on it now, and I'm looking for more Black women to join the series and do an episode with me. These episodes are going to be a lot smaller, and not smaller, but shorter than episodes I usually do. So I'm actively looking for Black women of all shapes, sizes, and complexion, complexions to come and speak speak about how Black beauty has affected their mental health and where you're at now. If you are interested or you feel like you know somebody that's interested, please hit me up. I'm really excited. I started this as kind of like a, hey, let's just do a few episodes, and it's slowly grown into something a bit more, which I'm really excited about. I'm slightly intimidated and a little overwhelmed with it, but it also like gets me super excited and motivated to have more of these conversations. So if you're interested in sharing your story about how what Black beauty means to you, how it has affected your mental health, and how you have learned to see and recognize your own beauty and value, hit me up. So you can slide into the DMs on Instagram or TikTok. It's at Black Girls Have Anxiety 2 with 2 O's. Or you can email me, blackgirlshaveanxiety2@gmail.com. That's blackgirlshaveanxiety2@gmail.com. Hit me up and let me know if you're interested. And we'll get it arranged. But thank you so much. I want to leave everybody with an affirmation. And I hope that you can use this throughout the holidays. It's really simple. And here it is. I am worthy of rest. That's it. That's the affirmation. That's something that I'm telling myself every day ever since I had that meeting, that session with my therapist a couple weeks ago. I am worthy of rest. You are worthy of rest. I hope that you found this check-in to be helpful. I hope that you have a little bit more insight into like where your anxiety is, where your mental health is. And I hope that everybody has a chance to enjoy the holidays, whether that's with family or maybe you're just spending it alone without family, whether that's by choice or by circumstance. I hope that everybody can take care of your mental health, take care of yourself, and spread love when you can. Thank y'all, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2. No matter where you are in the world, I really appreciate your support. See you again on the next episode, but until then, follow us on Instagram at Black Girls Have Anxiety 2 and on Twitter at Anxious Black Girls. That's Anxious BLK Girls. And remember, just because you're struggling doesn't mean you have to struggle in silence. The more we talk about it, the more we heal.